And I would invite you to open in your Bibles this morning to the book of Joshua, chapter number 1. Joshua, chapter number 1. As you find your place there, I'd ask that you stand out of respect to the Word of God as we read just a few verses here. Joshua, chapter number 1, and I want to begin reading with verse number 6. Be strong and of good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give to them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Father, we thank you for your word. As we consider just a few simple thoughts this morning, we ask your blessing upon us. Speak to our hearts, minister to our needs. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. This morning, being the first day of the year 2012, perhaps the first day of the year in which Christ returns, I want to just simply bring a very simple message entitled, Why You Should Read the Word of God. As I, during the announcement time, promoted the Bible reading schedules and encourage you to read through your Bible over the course of a year, much easier than most people who have never done it would anticipate, I want to give you some reasons here this morning. I have five listed. We'll see if we get to all of them this morning, but five reasons why you should read the Word of God. Whether that reading be through systematic, through the entire Bible system, or whether it be a different system that you use, the fact is every Christian should be in the Word of God on a daily basis. Throughout the Christian era and extending back into the Jewish era, God's people have always been known as the people of the book, not just because they read the book, but also because they lived the book. The two go hand in hand. And so I couldn't think of any better place to begin this morning than here in the first chapter of the book of Joshua. Of course, the portion we read is out of the charge given to Joshua by God himself. As Joshua stood on the east bank of the Jordan River, and Moses was no longer there to lead the people, Joshua was God's hand-picked man for that task. And as Joshua knew the day was near for them to cross that river and to go into the land and try to conquer those nations that were dwelling there, nations that were powerful, nations that were strong, so much so that when they first sent those 12 spies of whom Joshua was one, 10 of them came back with the report that we cannot do it. And Joshua knew what was there. And as he anticipated it, and as God was preparing him for it, Joshua understood the difficulty of the task. He understood what he would be up against. He understood there would be opposition and that there would be those who would try to cause defeat on his part. Three times in the short verses that we read, God says to Joshua, be strong and of a good courage. Today, this is the same call that you and I have given to us by God, telling us to be strong and of good courage, because we face a difficult task if we're to bring revival to the United States of America. And if there be any hope for our country, it is not in the electoral process, but it's in winning one soul by one soul, by one soul to Christ. And it's by reclaiming one backslider after one backslider after one backslider. Or it'll come by recharging or reviving one heart of a Christian that's grown cold to the things of Christ. Or it would be bringing back one individual who has left their first love of Christ. Revival is the only hope of our country. And as we look at the task before us this morning of bringing revival to the country, we also need this encouragement from God. Be strong and of a good courage. Because we understand what is going on today, even in the realm of Christendom, is not according to this book. We become no longer a people of the book. We become a people of philosophy. We become a people of convenience. We've become a people of contemporary ideas. We become a people of psychology. And we've left the book behind. God two times in this passage says to Joshua that if he would follow the commandments of this book, he would be prosperous. And then one time in verse number 8, God assured Joshua that he would be successful. And so we have the first reason as to why we should read the Word of God is because reading ensures success. Reading ensures you success in life. But it's not just reading, as I said, it's not just being in the book, but it's letting the book be in you. It's living out what you read, applying the things that God in His grace has revealed to you in your life. Joshua and the children of Israel had a great need for this. As they went in and conquered that first city of Jericho, it was easy because they did it God's way. It doesn't mean the task was simple. It doesn't mean that it was a yawner and no one really was concerned about it. But it was just the opposite. Jericho had massive walls for height and for thickness. And from a human perspective, it was impenetrable. But God gave Joshua a surefire plan. And as long as Israel would follow the plan of God, given by the Word of God, they would see success. They did, and they did. They followed God's plan, and they saw that success. They were prosperous. But what was the second city they went up against? A little city by the name of Ai. They should have been able to take it with one hand tied behind their back. An insignificant little town. And yet we know because they did not follow God's plan, because they relied in their own strength, their own wisdom, their own abilities, we understand that the first attempt to take Ai was a failure. That men lost their lives for no other reason than that they had neglected the Word of God. As they came back at it a second time, this time, having learned their lesson, they followed what God said in His Word, and they saw a tremendous success. If our country has any hope, it'll come through revival. And if we're to bring about revival, it'll hinge upon our willingness to obey the Word of God. But how can we obey the Word of God if we don't know the Word of God? A great concern of mine is reflecting a particular book in my library that is only there for one reason. Because it's a you won't believe it's true, but it is book. The title of the book is Bible Questions Answered. Sounds like a good title, doesn't it? It sounds like a book you'd want to read. The only problem with this book, and I've mentioned it before, is that it does not have Bible in it. It's a man's opinion of what the Bible should say. But it reflects a whole segment of Christianity today that is trying to live the Christian life apart from the Word of God. What was it that the Roman church feared so greatly during the Dark Ages? They feared the Bible coming into the hands of the common people. Because the Roman Catholic Church and the hands of the Pope wielded great power in the world. At that time, they had their own standing army. And they had kings at their every beck and call that they needed greater military power. But they understood that if a man got a hold of the Word of God and read the Word of God, they would lose their power over the masses. And that's what happened in the life of Martin Luther. When he was in the seminary, he came across a Greek New Testament. And under cover of darkness, hiding underneath his covers at night with a candle, he read the Word of God until he came across where the Bible tells us the just shall live by faith. And he compared the Word of God with the Romish system of sacraments and found out that the Romish system of sacraments was contradictory to the Word of God, and the Reformation, which had begun before him, really took fire. The devil knows that if a man gets a hold of the Word of God and begins to read, and lets the Word of God get a hold of that man, that the devil will have very little, if any, hold upon that individual. We have many today in our Christian circles that are struggling with sin habits and trying to discover, how can I overcome this particular sin? Many even go to such lengths as buying books and reading books as to how to cover it. We go to seminars, how to conquer sin, and we listen attentively when the preacher preaches on conquering sin. But I'll tell you, it's not rocket science. All you need to do is get the Word of God in your life, in your heart, in your mind, as it tells us there in verse number 8 of Joshua 1. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all that is written therein. That's the key to overcoming sin in your life, is getting into the Word of God, saturating your mind, saturating your heart with the Word of God, so much so that it then begins to live its way out through you in your life. But the devil knows that if you get in the Word of God and begin to know the Word of God, he has lost his power over you. We should read the Word of God because it ensures you success in the Christian life. Let's turn over now to the New Testament, John chapter number 5, first of all, for our second reason why we should read the Word of God. This list could have been much longer, but then my sermon would have been much longer, so I've limited it to 5. And as I said, we'll see if we get through 5. But in John chapter number 5, in verse number 39, Jesus is debating here with the Jews, and he tells them this: search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. The second reason why we should read the Word of God, according to John chapter 5, verse 39, is that reading informs you of Christ. Reading informs you of Christ. All of us who are Christians want to get to know Christ better. We want to have a closer relationship with Him, and that only comes by knowing Him better. And so that leads us to answer the question, how do I get to know my Savior better? More intimately. How do I get to know Him better? Well, there's only one way, and that's by reading the Word of God. There are things we can learn about God without the Scriptures. And yet, that list is very limited. Over in Psalm chapter 19, God tells us two things we can learn about Him apart from the Scriptures. In Psalm chapter 19, verse number 1, the Bible says this: the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. And so here we have two things we can learn about God apart from the Word of God. The first is His glory, as we consider the heavens. And as you get up in a clear night sky and see those stars that just are innumerable for number, and realize the depths of the skies and the depths of the universe and how massive this is, and understand that God created it all, we begin to see His glory. A God who could hang the heavens and the stars in place. And after 6,000 years or so, everything is still running perfectly according to plan. so we can understand the glory of God in that respect. And as we consider the firmament, we can see His handiwork. His handiwork. Not only is He powerful enough and glorious enough to create all of this, but we see His creativity, His handiwork. The fact that He is able to create so many different things, so many different varieties. I mean, just look around the room. Each of us are unique and individual. God doesn't have a cookie cutter pattern by which He creates people. Oftentimes in a family, the children have that family resemblance. And yet we know that so often their natures of those same children are very different from one another. As we consider creation, Psalm 19 tells us we can understand God's glory and we understand His handiwork. Over in the book of Romans, God tells us two more things we can learn apart from the Word of God. In Romans chapter number 1, verse number 20. Romans chapter 1, verse number 20, the Bible tells us, "For the invisible things of Him," speaking of God, "from the creation of the world, are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Those without excuse are those who reject Christ. Because as they look at the universe and the creation about them, God says, here's two more things you can see about Me. You can learn about God apart from the Word of God. The first of those are His eternal power. I mentioned a few moments ago that God created everything that is, hung the stars in place, the planets, and all else in existence about 6,000 years ago, and that it's still running in perfect order. The only reason it's running in perfect order is because God's power is eternal. It hasn't wavered one bit. God is, to use human terms, is 6,000 years older than He was when He spoke everything into existence. Now in our human minds, if something ages 6,000 years, it deteriorates. But God has yet to begin to deteriorate. And that's why the moon is still the same distance from the earth as it was when God placed it there in those days of creation. The sun is still as hot as it was when God spoke it into existence. Nothing has diminished, nothing has changed other than that according to His plan. God's eternal power can be seen from creation, and so can His Godhood, His existence. Now the evolutionist looks today and somehow sees a Big Bang so many years ago and explain it all that way, and it makes absolute nonsense. Creation reveals that there is a God. That's what it means when it says His Godhead. The fact that there is a Creator in heaven who spoke everything into existence and to whom one day will give an answer. Those are four things we can learn outside of the Word of God. But what's lacking? What's missing? What can't be learned outside of the Word of God? You see, with that information, man has created all these world religions in all of its superstition, trying to appease that God that they know exists, that one day they'll have to give an answer to, that same God who controls the entire universe, that they're trying to make happy so that He will give them good things in life. All the world's religions have spawned from that minimal information. But only in this book, only in the Bible can we learn about the love of Christ. Only in the Bible can we learn about the compassion of Christ. Only in the Word of God can we learn about the grace of God. Only in the Word of God can we learn about the mercy of God. Only in the Word of God can we learn about adoption. Only in the Word of God can we learn about redemption and regeneration and salvation and everything else that goes with the Christian experience. Without the Word of God, none of that would be known. But you know, our experience with Christ extends far beyond that salvation experience, doesn't it? To understand what God is doing in our lives and how He is working in us and through us, we must read the Word of God. There'll be no understanding apart from it or aside from it. And so, why should we read the Word of God? First of all, because it ensures us success. Secondly, it informs us of Christ. Thirdly, over in John chapter 15, we find our third reason why we should read the Word of God. In John chapter 15 and verse number 3, the Bible says this, "Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Thirdly, we should read the Word of God because it cleanses our minds. It cleanses our minds. We have a lot in our world today that pollutes our minds. And by pollution, I mean it comes in the way between us and our Savior. You don't have to go very far to encounter it. Most of us bring it into our living room. We were watching a show on television last night, a DVD of what's considered to be a good show, and there were a couple cuss words in it. Now, we've invested in a TV guardian that's supposed to filter that out. And it really upsets me when it filters out the word before the cuss and lets the cuss word comes through. Now, it's not what would you consider a major cuss word, but nevertheless, I don't appreciate people talking like that in my living room. But it pollutes the mind. How are you going to clean that? You go to work and people are talking that way. It pollutes your mind. How are you going to clean the mind from that pollution? There's only one way. Penance won't do it. Keeping the Ten Commandments won't even do it. God says there's only one way to get that done. That's through reading the Word of God. The Word of God somehow filters supernaturally that uncleanness, that pollution from your minds. You say, "Preacher, I'm having trouble living the Christian life. I'm having trouble with anger. I'm having trouble with thoughts. I'm having trouble with saying things I shouldn't say." Well, here's the solution right here. Invest time in the Word of God and you will be surprised, or maybe you won't be surprised, but you'll find that these things are reduced substantially, if not completely removed, from your life. And so read the Word of God, because it is the only way to cleanse your mind. Can you imagine if we let little boys have their way, and they never took a bath? There aren't very many little boys that like taking a bath. They only take a bath because mom grabs them by the ears and throws them in a tub full of water. As long as they're there, they might as well clean themselves, because they know she's going to check them, even behind the ears, when they get out. But imagine what would happen over time. I mean, you bring that baby boy home from the hospital, he's brand new, spanking, squeaking clean. But it won't take long. If he's not bathed, you'd be holding him at arm's length. And it'll get worse after that. But in that silly illustration, that's what we're allowing to happen to our minds when we neglect the Word of God. We allow that filth and that pollution to build up and build up and build up. Until over time, it's God's holding us at arm's length away, saying, "I can't handle this right now." And then we push ourselves even further. And so read the Word of God, first of all, because it ensures you success. Secondly, because it informs you of Christ. Thirdly, because it cleanses your mind. Look over in Romans chapter 10 for reason number 4. Romans chapter number 10. Romans chapter 10, verse number 17. The Bible very simply says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." There's a lot of Christians in the world today that will ask, "How can I increase my faith?" Or they struggle with things because they will admit, "I don't have that much faith." And we wonder in our minds and in our hearts, "How can I increase my faith?" God tells us right here how to increase your faith. You increase your faith by reading the Word of God. He says it will do it in a way that nothing else can imitate and nothing else can duplicate in your life. If you find yourself lacking faith when you go to God in prayer and expect God to give you something, you're saying, man, I wish I could believe this. I wish God would work on my behalf. I wish God would hear and answer my prayers. And we have difficulty with doubts. God says, here's the key, here's the answer. Apply yourselves to the Word of God. Read the Word of God in which you find that success. Read the Word of God which informs you of Christ. Read the Word of God which cleanses your mind, and you will have that faith increasing in your life. And so we read the Word of God because it increases our faith. And then over in Hebrews chapter number 4, we have our fifth reason and our final reason for this morning why we should read the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 12. For the Word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The fifth reason why we should read the Word of God is oftentimes the reason why many don't read the Word of God. But this reason why we should read the Word of God is it reveals our heart. It reveals our heart. Our heart isn't a pretty picture. If you have a biblical perspective of your heart, you'll scoff like me every time I watch a Disney show and hear them say, follow your heart, just follow your heart. God says if you follow that heart, you're going to get yourself into a whole lot of trouble. Because the heart is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. Who can know it? That passage in Jeremiah 17 goes on to say that God knows it. And as God knows your heart, as you come to this mirror of the Word of God, He reveals those thoughts and those intents of your heart. And when those thoughts and those intents are not pure, when those thoughts and those intents do not glorify God, when those thoughts and those intents are not what God would have them to be, He lets you know. The Holy Spirit brings that Holy Spirit conviction in your life and in that same wicked heart. And it's an unpleasant feeling. God describes it as the pricking of a prick or an ox goad. But God does it for our good. And so we should read the Word of God in order that the thoughts and intents of our heart might be revealed. In order that we might repent of those things which we need to repent. In order that we might learn those things which we need to learn. And so this year, five reasons why you should read the Word of God. You should read it in order to experience success. You should read it in order to learn of Christ. You should read it in order to keep your mind clean. You should read it in order to see your faith increase. And you should read it in order to have the thoughts and intents of your heart revealed. Who'll read the Word of God this year? I hope you'll all apply yourself this year to this book so that this time next year, you'll be able to say, I read it through from cover to cover. Father, we thank You for Your Word. Father, what a wonderful, supernatural, living book it is, like no other on earth. Father, we know the Muslim claims perfection for the Quran in a very imperfect and contradictory book. Father, we know without any shadow of a doubt that this book is the very Word of God. But Father, how often Christians neglect this book. Father, may this year, at least in our church, at least among these folks, may this book not be neglected, but may it be read and applied on a regular basis. And we'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen.